Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 641. Got my numbers backwards there. It is the 18th of June, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Garrett Weinzer. Oh, hello, Garrett.
I'm still hungover from E3, Scott. How about you?
Yeah, baby. I did a lot of E3 coverage and a lot of co-streaming and worried about DMCA strikes the whole time. And it all turned out okay in the end. But if you want to catch some of that coverage, I put it all up on the Core feed, which is another show I do. If you haven't heard of it, it's all about sort of the video game industry as a whole. And combinations of me, Bo, and John did a bunch of sort of live talkovers. We recorded those. They don't exist in video form because of said DMCA threats. So if you've been following all that weirdness, I don't have to get into it too much. But
yeah,
it's
all there. Yeah, I was going to do a live Nintendo stream, but it would have just been me going, F Nintendo, F Nintendo, F Nintendo the whole time.
You believe actually, I mean, the words out of their statement were, we love it if you do reaction videos, but don't share any audio or video of what you're reacting to. Nintendo.
I would love it if Nintendo understood the way the internet works, but
it's never going to happen.
We do not.
I don't know what the disconnect is. It's something to do with, you know, Japan runs things different than Nintendo of America does. I don't know what the cultural thing is about showing game content. It's free advertising. You're literally telling people not to air your commercial is what you're doing, because that's what it is. It's just a big, long form commercial. And I don't understand their brains. And I never will. So I love you, Nintendo. Your games shaped me as a human being. I can't wait. Mario Golf can't get into my veins fast enough this month. Like, there's a billion reasons I could tell you why I love you. But this ain't one of them, you weirdos. Quit being weird. Don't be weird. All right.
Yeah. Nintendo is to the internet as my grandmother is to Eminem's music.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, hold on now. Tell me more about that. Is she just out of touch and she doesn't know?
I was just trying to think of like the most out of touch example I could think of.
So if I walked up to your grandmother and said, "Mom, spaghetti," what would she do?
I'm sure she'd be alarmed that you just shouted "Mom, spaghetti" with no other explanation as to why, or even making it a full sentence.
Yeah.
You're just expressing contextless things at my grandma, so I'm sure she would be taken aback.
What if she looked at me and went,
"Please don't yell at my grandma, Scott. That's what I'm trying to tell you."
Well, what if she turned around and went, "Then the gravity, something with the depravity, dibba dibba dabity." What if she just started going off doing some like big long Eminem riff? How cool would that be?
It would be extremely cool because it wouldn't happen.
Well, I long to meet your grandmother. Anyway, I will not yell at her or anyone else, but we will bring you some content today. So before we get going into our big topic today, and we do have one, there is the looming date we finally got of June 29th as our big release for 9.1. And a lot to say about that and what it means for both current and returning players. We'll get to all that in a minute. But I wanted to mention something that I thought about this week, partly because I was seeing all kinds of new engines and next-gen game stuff happening in E3, and it was easy to get caught up in some of those new visuals and get a little bit blown away by them. In particular, very particular, I thought that the Forza Horizon 5, that looked insane to me, insane amounts of realism.
And can I tell you the extremely specific Florida man thing that blew my mind about it?
What's that?
The palm trees.
Oh, yeah.
there was like a still shot that they lingered on for like a second or two of just a couple palm trees. And dude, that is exactly what real palm trees look like.
It looked like video.
I thought it was a photo.
Yeah, I did too. I saw some moving leaves and a little bit of rustling, and I thought, oh, they're just showing us location like info to say, here's where we spent a bunch of time.
Then a Bugatti comes screaming through at 200 miles an hour.
You're like, this is in game. Holy shit. And then they did, was a lot made out of like cactus needles and how each one was rendered and all that. If you get
it
past
was a good
all of
flex
that,
too, because like it's so expected, like, oh, you can make cars look good. Congratulations. Like, no, mofos, we're going to show you the land first. Then we'll get to the cars.
Yeah, the cars looked amazing, but the land, oh my gosh, the environments were crazy. So that was just one. And I've seen some other stuff lately. In particular, I've been doing a playthrough of Resident Evil 8 Village. And the WoW brain in me, the World of Warcraft brain in me says, man, this engine is so cool. And it is. That RE engine has gone places. And it looks really good in this new game. There are times in that game where you're in like catacombs and, you know, dungeony spaces, long sort of rock tunnel type stuff with weird flickering lights on the walls and all this. And yes, some of that's, you know, enhanced by ray tracing or whatever, but there's some stuff like that going on. But while I'm in those spaces, my brain goes, just imagine if this is what a modern World of Warcraft looked like, or a Warcraft game of some kind. Imagine me walking through there, some hunched over orc, because I like the orcs, unlike you. He'd be some lame human or an elf or whatever with ears. It's fine. You can do what you want.
Excuse me.
You can do whatever you want. It's totally fine. I don't judge, except for I said they were lame. Anyway, they're not lame. They're fine.
Cool. Hey, I'm an elf tomorrow, by the way, on There Will Be Dungeons. Oh, just okay. FYI.
Oh, yeah, so, that's right. I was going to ask your, what your class
keep your elf racism at home.
Yeah, everybody tune in tomorrow, 2 p.m. Mountain, for our edition of There Will Be Dungeons. Garrett is guest starring with us today, or that day, and I'm pretty excited to see your whole thing. I'm very excited. Anyway, I get in these environments, and I'm immediately, my feeling almost always goes to, geez, I wish we had a Warcraft game like this, or actually any Blizzard game like this, but give me that kind of milieu, that kind of, you know, Skyrim potential in terms of size and scope, but the fidelity of what we can do today. Because when I go back into WoW, I just go, oh yeah, right, we're kind of in cartoon land here, and it's fine. You know, I'm not looking for ultra realism. I still want my stylization, but you can do that in these environments. It's not like they make it so you have to do all, you know, mannequins and stuff. But I always get that feeling. I got the same thing this week when I was testing out Chivalry 2, which is a beautiful game. Most of what happens in that game is outdoors, and those outdoor environments made me go, oh, this would be like the Highlands somewhere where, you know, I don't know, there's some tauren up on a hill with a horn going, like I could just see it. And then like Valheim is another good example of a game that kind of looks crusty, but the environments in it are beautiful. Like, I guess what I'm just saying is every day that ticks by is another day that we don't have a Warcraft property, whether it's WoW or a single player game or anything else that looks like that, man. That's what I want.
I don't know if Chivalry 2, is that just a game where it simulates holding the door for old ladies?
Kind of the opposite. It's like dudes with, it's a melee focused game, although there are archers in it, but it's class based, it's multiplayer, and it's all about, so imagine the Middle Ages, just a scrum of people all fighting and hacking each other's heads off and slicing arms off and all of that. That's the game.
It's interesting. I don't look at this and think World of Warcraft like for a second. This is like such a literal, realistic depiction of everything.
Yeah, but I kind of want, I guess what I'm saying is, environmentally speaking, forget about characters, like forget about character models and all of that. Still apply, basically what I'm asking for is a world that matches their cinematics. So make the orcs look as good as they look in cinematics. Does that make more sense? So like that.
All right, I'm on board with you. I'm on board. Because if you're make it look like all those unreal recreations that get posted to Polygon on a slow news day, I go, no, they all look boring and generic.
Yeah, that I'm not
talking
about.
They don't look like WoW.
Yeah, what I like about those, I'm in favor of those walkthrough videos only because environmentally that is what I'm talking about. But
no. Okay. Game wise, I'm off again. All right.
But game wise and character wise, go like you do in the cinematics. But I want those worlds to be detailed and chunky and beautiful and unending and just this giant environment. That's what I want. Right now, when I log into WoW, I feel like I'm playing a game that's like a, you know, light on everybody's system. It always has been, I know, but just kind of a motif that never really stretches past any of that. And
I log into the game right now, it's even uglier because I'm logging into BC Classic.
Oh yeah, you're playing a lot of BC Classic, yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Well, when I say a lot, what does that mean? How much is a lot? What are you playing?
Well, I'm not playing any retail, so by comparison, 100% more BC Classic.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's 100% more than I'm playing of any of it right now. So you're doing better than me. Anyway, just a thought, just a thing I've been thinking about. And if you guys can commiserate, send me your emails and tell me why, or, you know, what game makes you get in and go, oh, if WoW looked like this, dude, that'd be great. And there's a ton of them. Like you could go back as far as, I don't know, Dragon Age Inquisition or freaking for other fantasy settings and just substitute characters and animation and stuff for the quality we see in Blizzard cinematics. But give me those kinds of environments. Holy shit. I'd be so into it. congratulations goes out to Taron Gregory. You know him at the Blizzard team as the dude what brings you all the awesome cinematics, especially the in-game ones. And he's been there for a long time now. Really cool dude. Always been really reached out to the community all the time. Whenever we do anything at BlizzCon, he'd show up to that stuff. He's just the nicest dude in the world. And I'm happy to hear that he has now been graduated up to a full member of the dev team. And I don't know exactly what that means in terms of what he will do, but he's part of the main crew now. And not just like a little separate side thing where they get all their animation done. He's going to do something directly with the dev team now. And what that translates into, I don't know, but I'm not sure I've met anybody with more wide-eyed passion than that guy. So hats off and grats to Taron. What do you think he'll do there? Do you think I mean, I don't know. It's now a design capacity, right? He's going to say more about what the game does. So.
That's my understanding if he's becoming a full-on developer. I mean, we saw, same thing happened with Celestalon. Celestalon is now a dev over on Hearthstone.
Yeah, that's right.
And Celestalon's like making cards. Yeah. Like he's designing the game. So I don't know what form it'll take. I find it hard to believe that Taron Gregory will not be still directing cinematics.
Mm-hmm. Maybe more.
It feels like it's in the man's blood.
Yeah, it might be a more integrated kind of thing for him now. Like maybe it's the same sort of thing, but they're going to make it more part of the true structure of the game. Like instead of like I noticed in the current build of Shadowlands, there are a lot of moments that are not either pre-rendered or in-game, but rendered and then played like a video. There are actual in-game, lots of in-game moments. And those are look better. They look better than they ever have before. There's still some, you know, mouth syncing issues and all that stuff. But for the most part, that stuff is, you know, leaps and bounds better than it used to be. If I had to guess, they're going to figure out ways to make that stuff really shine moment to moment so that you're not pre-rendering a lot of this out or pumping out pre-scripted stuff, that you'll have things happen in game that look more natural in the moment, that feel like you're just flowing right into it and out of it. And who better to help you do that than him? Is my thinking. So
yeah, the things are never so like one-to-one simple, like one person tends to not make that big of a wave. But I would certainly say if you're someone like you are, Scott, that, you know, wants some higher fidelity shenanigans in your World of Warcraft, that the dude responsible for the cinematics we get excited about becoming part of the actual development team probably bodes well for that.
Yeah, it seems pretty good. Now, I kind of just brushed over this pretty quickly, but anything happened at E3 where you were like, oh man, can't wait for that? I know you're a big
fan, man. But I saw a Bethesda trailer that actually looked like a game made in the last 20 years. It was nice.
That was in engine too, so you know,
I am not like Liz. Oh man, like I've got a long history of like talking smack about how ugly Bethesda's games are. I am not used to seeing a Bethesda trailer and thinking, wow, that looks good. Starfield looks good, man.
It does.
That's a pretty looking trailer. And I like how really tactile and like realistic space travel-y they're going with it.
Can I thank you for this a little bit? Because everyone I talk to wants to complain about that trailer. John's like all about, they didn't show anything. It's just freaking bleh. They didn't really tell us what it's about.
It's a Bethesda game. What do you expect? Like, you know exactly what that game is going to be. It's a Bethesda. It's a titular Bethesda title. Yeah. You're going to go do Bethesda-y things. What do they need to show you? Skyrim in space, they even use that phrasing.
Plus, they don't do anything until the final year is when they do it anyway. This thing's not coming out till 11/22. They'll show it 6 months ahead. That's the first taste of it you'll get anyway.
Yeah, what I needed to see was that Bethesda was actually putting some effort into their visuals, and that's exactly what I got to see. And you know, everyone's different, I guess, right? Like at the end of the day, I'm not like I'm feeling a little impassioned, a little emboldened, because I'm like, oh, for the love of God, finally. Like I'm not looking at styrofoam trees. It's kind of what the trees in ESO look like to me, but
a little bit.
Yeah, they're just little.
You're like, not wrong.
Photographic textures on pretty low poly models. It just doesn't really.
Yeah, I haven't really having played. I think the game, you know, has continually gotten better looking as well. But there's certain, it, like WoW or anything else, there's stuff that's like artifacty from early builds, and it's just a little bit off. Yeah. Like those trees are a little off.
Yeah, yeah, but for me, it like did exactly what I needed it to do, and just as a whole, like again. Everyone just got punched in the teeth with 2020.
Yeah.
Everyone, this is not, we've said it here a million times. It is not a Blizzard, it's not a World of Warcraft specific occurrence that the pandemic has slowed down development. Right. This is happening everywhere except Hearthstone, across the board. Apparently.
Yeah, and a lot of
although even Hearthstone friggin' Mercenaries was supposed to be out by now, and that's not out yet.
Little teams, little indie teams, seem to be doing okay. Yeah, but that makes sense. They were already flexible. Working this way, right?
So the thing is, the Hearthstone's team is not little, and it ain't indie.
No, that's true.
It's a pretty sizable team now.
That's true.
But yeah, they've kept up with their cadence of constructed and battlegrounds updates. The only thing that seems to have really been noticeably affected over there is the release of that new game mode.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a thing. By the way, you can't even say the word cadence without me being sad about HTC and Heroes getting less development.
Well, hey, man, we just got a new patch. It's only been 3 weeks in Heroes of the Storm.
It's the most updated game on their roster. I don't understand why.
I think Hearthstone still technically beats it out for 2021, but I think it's nipping at the heels of Hearthstone for the most updated Blizzard game of 2021.
Yeah, that sounds right. Diablo 2 got a lot of showing at the event from different showcases. That thing's coming to everything. So if you thought it was just a PC redo for Resurrected, you would be wrong. It's coming to Switch and both consoles, all the consoles.
Yeah, it got a lot of love at E3.
Yeah, more than I expected. Didn't see that coming. However, did we get a date? Hold on, you
for
guys.
Yes, we did. For Diablo Immortal or Diablo 2? Sorry, Diablo 2.
Resurrected. Yeah. Did we get one?
Yes, September. We did. September 23rd, 2021. Coming out the end of this September, Scott. You're going to be able to avoid talking to your weird uncle at Thanksgiving by playing Diablo 2 Resurrected on your Switch.
Not a problem. I'm happy to avoid him. Yeah, I'm weird. Oh, and they showed some clips of some of the cinematics that looked like they had been tweaked and redone like they promised. And it was very short and very brief, but they look good. I think they may come through on that promise of actually improving all that stuff. So,
yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that up. We should have invited Kyle on today to get his thoughts on this, because that was like he said himself, his words, the make or break for him was if they actually held true to that promise. And then you brought it up multiple times, both on when we did our BlizzCon live stream, but also I think the following instance.
Yeah.
And I told both of you, I was like, listen, they already lied to us once. They know they can't do it again.
Yeah. So in a way, go ahead.
Those cinematics look amazing. What they showed at E3.
They did. It was brief, but it looked great. Like, I'm super jazzed.
Oh my God. The Tyrael when the door, he comes into the gateway, the archway, whatever the hell you call it. Oh my God.
No, it looked really good. It looked really good. And I'm telling you, we're all going to be glad one day that Warcraft 3 Reforged was such a bomb, because I feel like that almost needed to happen in that horrible way so that they could go, ooh, can never do that again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they kind of had to taste the bottom of that barrel before they ever let it go empty again.
And I got it.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I think I'm already ready to eat crow on Diablo 2, because when they started showing the trailers at E3, because, like, I don't know, I wasn't really like braced for it. Like, I was just kind of like half paying attention. I'm like looking, and they did like the wipe where it's like, new graphics. For a half second, I didn't even like think about what I was looking at. I was like, damn, that looks really good. Holy shit, it's Diablo 2 Resurrected. I'm going to have to eat my hat,
because
I actually think this looks kind of good. It was, I don't know. I think it's just like I had my guard down, and I didn't have my like analytical brain on, and I wasn't thinking about like Warcraft 3 and. Yeah, there's just something about it where, like, the more and more I see of it, the more and more it's like chipping away at the guard that I have up for another Blizzard remake. It's starting to position itself much more on like the Tony Hawk remake side of things than the Warcraft 3 remake side of things.
Yeah, and ironically, same team.
In case anyone doesn't know, I love the Tony Hawk remake.
Yeah, and the developers who made that remake got acquired by Activision Blizzard, and they're making the Diablo Resurrected remake, so everything comes in full circle. Also, if you had to eat your hat, it wouldn't be that bad, because you're wearing a hat that says donut. Look, right there.
No, it doesn't mean it tastes like a donut.
Oh, well, never mind then. I assumed you were wearing a pastry-based hat today, and I guess I was wrong. Anyway, cool stuff out of E3. All that stuff looks good. I wanted to show one thing off before we get to our topic. Thank you for indulging me, everybody at home. I'm going to pull this up and show everybody. My good pal, I pulled it out of my pocket like inventory and WoW. My good pal Nicole Spagnolo is a quilt master, basically. If she was in an MMO, she would corner the market on this profession. Without me knowing about it, and with the help of my wife and a whole bunch of co-host friends and other friends in the industry, or in the industry around the Blizzard space, including someone in Blizzard on the cinematics team, people at Jinx of all places, donated a whole bunch of old and new Blizzard shirts. And some of these are mine. So, like, this Tyrael one is me, was mine. This one of this Tracer one is my shirt. I kind of wonder where my shirts were going, but I didn't question it too much because this was a couple of months ago. My wife did it, but this thing is just covered in World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Blizzard in general. One of them's a BlizzCon staff shirt. Like,
that's so cool.
It's just this giant, awesome, comfortable quilt made of all of these old Warcraft shirts.
I'm about to say it's made of old t-shirts, so you know it's like comfy.
Yeah, super comfy. And it's a couple of fans. Man, for example, we have a doctor who listens, Dr. Jerry Tolbert, who came to BlizzCon a couple of times and actually hugged me at BlizzCon wearing the shirt that is now on this all these years later. So, oh, look, a Hearthstone shirt that didn't fit me anymore because I'm fat now.
I have that shirt, and yep, it's still... Yeah, that one still fits. Man, I want one now because I've got quite a few shirts that don't fit anymore or are just kind of disintegrating.
Yeah. it's pretty crazy.
You know what one like is really special to me is I don't know if it's on there, but the blue Heroes of the Storm community shirt.
I'm looking.
From the 2.0 summit.
I'm worried there aren't any Heroes things on here, which would bum me out.
That's the one that's making me sad because it's starting to like tear at the seams.
Oh, no. Yeah, you don't and it's want getting, that. Oh yeah, look at this! My Lich King shirt lives on in the form of a thing. And then check this out. There's a BlizzCon crew shirt in here.
That's the backside of the crew shirt.
Yeah,
the front cool? side's the little logo, and the backside is the big one.
Yeah. So this would have been
that's awesome.
Like last year, I think. Anyway,
Nicole,
it's so cool.
I need to put an order in.
You can't even
want one. That's
you can't
so
even
sick.
Buy this one anymore. I got this in like 2007. How big is your sack? How big is your sack shirt? So
I've got do you want to hear my story about the how big is your sack shirt? Because it ties into the instance.
Yeah, go.
This was an early BlizzCon. This was, I don't know, maybe whatever year they didn't take off, 2012, 2013. I think it was my first BlizzCon, after you knew who I was and I wasn't just like the creepy fan. But
you'll always be the creepy fan. Don't worry. It'll always be
there. Oh, good. I don't want anyone to take that title from me. But I think we were talking. What year did you do the Diablo, the first time you ever did like the Diablo, like with the circular couches, like the hangout chat?
Oh, at BlizzCon. What year was that?
I want to say that was 12 or something.
12? No, but 12. There was no BlizzCon 12. So it would have been 13.
It must have been 13 because we had come over to watch that. And like, cause Tom was there too. This one of the days that Tom Merritt went. And so afterwards we were all like just hanging out and talking, and Randy had shown up, who was working BlizzCon that year. And he was just like, oh, hey, wait a minute. He like went behind a curtain. He just had a bunch of old freaking Blizzard t-shirts. He was like, who wants one? And that I have a, how big is your sack World of Warcraft t-shirt?
Oh,
and
nice.
It's cause Randy was like, yeah, we've got extras. They're super old. We can't do anything with them.
They didn't want to put those on the store either. I was told because they were, you know, some people saw them as little lewd or whatever, but I've always treasured mine and now I'll have it forever.
I've gone out of my house wearing that one without thinking before. And like people at the Publix grocery store just kind of giving me raised eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what? And then I look down, I'm like,
right.
I guess that is, it's a little off color.
It has a whole thing on the back though, where it shows the full inventory and then it's all slotted out. So you have to kind of get both paneled before you realize that you're not just gross.
Well, I think you also have to play World of Warcraft to understand what,
that's a good
what
point.
The interface even is.
That's a really
I
good
really
point.
Like it because it's a super nerdy interface shirt.
Oh, yeah. No, it's awesome. Yeah. You got some old UI on there. Also, I should say this. The inside is all lined with these little arcade machines. And so she just knows me, man. I love this
Nicole
thing so
much.
Nicole
is like one of my favorite people.
She is one of the best people on the planet, and I'm really grateful for this. And I'm going to throw it over there so I remember to take it up when we're done. All right. Well, that was fun. Now this. Our big discussion today. We have a date with 9.1. Oh, yeah. It's this month. It's the 29th. That's coming up. That's faster than you all think.
Not as fast as you would have liked.
No, maybe not as fast as you wanted. Again, given the pandemic and all those reasons, we get it. It's okay. I think this exceeds or maybe ties with Warlord's third patch content drop in terms of how much time has passed, right? Do I have that right?
So our illustrious friends, T&E, did the math on this one. And so 9.0 is going to have lasted for 218 days.
Oh, my Lord.
Of Warlords of Draenor's content was out after 223 days.
Yeah, that's a big, that's a bigger difference.
Yeah, it's going to be, what, 3 days short of all of Draenor?
Of Draenor.
Granted, Draenor also had the fewest amounts of updates, or no, it tied with BFA.
Right, BFA. And
the BFA Draenor only had a 0.1 and a 0.2, and so did Draenor. But I think it's also worth pointing out that, like, I don't know about you, Scott, but I think I like Shadowlands, what I've already experienced, more than Draenor in its entirety. So
yeah,
I'm giving it a pass that way. Also, Draenor's 6.1 patch was barely a patch.
It wasn't much. I mean, look, if I'm counting the early questing experience, I really enjoyed Draenor. I know you didn't, but I enjoyed that. But I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the questing in Shadowlands. So even then, it's still not as good. But the long tail on Draenor, oof. Rough times.
The 6.2 tail, I think, is like close to how long we've been stuck in 9.0. Yeah. I need to run the numbers on that. Don't quote me on that. That's just me looking at an infographic made by Taliesin. So
Garrett, we'll do the math and we'll let you guys know.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate that is.
If you do my math, you'll never be accurate. Anyway, so this is happening. It's coming, and it's called Chains of Domination. We all knew that. But I have serious and real questions about whether or not people who fell off early in Shadowlands are going to be as compelled to come back. And I think it's a real question. It's a question for me. Like, what about this patch? Am I sold on what will bring me full bore back into the game? If you've been playing consistently and are still in every day doing your stuff, well, you're ready for it. You're ready to just dive right into the next gated story content. You're going to be right into everything. It's all just going to be laid out there for you, almost like getting a new expansion. You're just going to hit the ground running. But if you played the game through leveling, got a little ways into your renown, you know, kind of got going with the covenants and all that, and then you just kind of fell off for whatever reason, there's a bunch of you out there with different reasons. Is it as compelling for you to return on the 29th? What will you actually get to do on day one? And the answer to that may be, we'll get to this more in a minute, but the answer to that may be not a ton. You're kind of going to be put right back where you were. And yes, you'll have access to the new zone and some other things, but you're going to mostly be in a place where you've got to continue to unlock things to ungate your story, to move to the next level of it, and then continue down the story path. That stuff doesn't just poof go away like it would if this was a brand new expansion and you can just sort of start fresh. That, I think, is potentially an issue and a problem. But before we get into that question and go too deep with it, here's what you're actually going to get on the day. You get the new zone, Corytha. Are we saying it right?
Corythia.
Okay, Corythia. I've never quite done it right, I don't think. The new zone of Corythia will have new quests for players in terms of the story. The new zone has appeared because the primary antagonist of Shadowlands, the Jailer, pulled the zone into his domain, the Maw, hence the chains and all that. You got the new raid, Sanctum of Domination, although that is not happening on day one. So we'll get to that in a minute. So that's coming. We're going to fight Sylvanas ultimately. New mega dungeon, Tazavesh, I believe I'm saying it right. The Veiled Market, set to essentially be a high-stakes heist involving powerful artifacts from Azeroth. The mega dungeon is designed around being an exotic bazaar rather than a bazaar erotic. No, wait. Anyway, forget I said
that. I'm sorry, what now?
I don't even know. Moving on, Shadowlands flying. You'll be able to fly around Shadowlands. That's coming with us as well, around the Covenant Zones. Bastion, Maldraxxus, Ardenweald, and Revendreth, of course. In the new update, unlocking flying requires fulfilling certain requirements, which largely involve around gaining reputation with factions and exploring the map. So again, that's an important one to remember, because you're not going to be able, if you fell off, you know, toward the latter part of the early part of this launch, you may be annoyed that you're not going to fly for a while because you got to still unlock all that rep and potentially story gated stuff, which means you got to play the game.
You've had 218 days. I don't weep for you.
You've had a lot of, I mean, we'll get to that. I think Garrett and I spoke pre-show, and I think he has a point, but we'll get to that. All right. Mythic Plus Dungeon Season 2 starts. I know a lot of people, that's all they wait for, and guess what, everyone? It's here. That is the other major activity in here, and it will kick off its second season, bringing with it new scoring system and a new keystone affix, Tormented, it's called. Okay, real quick, just for those who are wondering why that raid is not happening that day, that's usually the case, but in this particular case, normally what happens is, like, normal and heroic hit day one, but this is now happening on July 6th, and then you get the first wing with Raid Finder on the 13th, and mythic difficulties then as well. That's for the Tarog, the Eye of the Jailer, and the Nine. Those are the three encounters you're going to get there. On the 27th, you get Raid Wing Finder 2, which will give you Soul Render Dormezain, Remnant of the Ner'zhul, and Painsmith Raznal. That's a great name.
I'm not going to help you with any of these. This is so entertaining.
I want to be a painsmith one day. That's what I'm saying.
You want to be a painsmith.
When I get older, when I grow up.
It sounds like a generic Metallica. You're wearing your Metallica t-shirt. It's like, I want a painsmith t-shirt.
Painsmith, best album they ever made. Let's see.
It's at CVS Pharmacy. It's right next to the Metallica. It says compare to.
I see.
Lower price.
I see. Yeah, we need to know what your pain level is before we can prescribe any painsmith. Let's see. August 10th, Raid Wing Finder 3, where you get Guardian of the First Ones, Fate Scribe Roe Kalo, and Kel'Thuzad. And then on the 24th, Raid Finder Wing 4, which includes the lady herself, Sylvanas Rinrunner. All right. So that's your raid plan for all of that. Now, back to the core question here. For current players, you just keep going. You hop in, you go. You play, you do what you got to do. You continue from where you are. You're stoked. You're ready. You never quit. Returning players, it's where things get a little complicated. If you're not up to speed on everything, you're renowned, for example. And how do you get renowned? You got a quest, and you got to do it every day, and you can only do so much per day because then you run out, and then the next day you got to come back and do those things again. All of that stuff, you're kind of starting back a ways in the game, kind of where you left off. And it's a little bit of a big ask for Blizzard to say. Again, this is just a hypothetical statement. We're going to argue whether it is true or not. But they're basically saying, hey, give me $15, come back to the point where you were bored, and now do the stuff you didn't want to do so you can get to the things you might want to do. That's the proposition, okay, for those people. And you may see it differently, but that's one way of looking through it. I think this is kind of a problem because you're still going to get some of that content. You're going to get the new zone, all that sort of stuff. But your story progression, your game progression, all the things that Warcraft is now is at a standstill. You are at whatever locked portion you were at, and it is on you to now make up for lost time and, you know, again, pay $15 to do it. This is why I think it's a problem. And other MMOs have to deal with this. We'll talk about those in a minute. But Garrett, counterpoint. Why is that the wrong way to look at this? Because I feel like you think it might be the wrong way to look at it.
Because I think the only thing you're barred from if you haven't been keeping up is flying. Like, full stop. You're not barred from the new zone. You're not barred from the new raid. You want to go to the new zone. It's a quest line right when, like, day one this drops. You go get your quest and you get your butt to Korthia.
Right.
So the only thing you're really behind on, you know, besides all sorts of other things, you know, if you're behind on professions or whatever, that's on you.
Yeah, it's different.
But different anyway. The only thing that, like, if you got bored with keeping up with your renown and you don't, like, the only thing you're really behind on is eventually unlocking your flying. You're going to have to take renown even further, even if you currently have it capped. So, you know, I'm capped on renown. It doesn't matter. I'm still not getting flying day one. There's going to be additional renown levels. So we're going to work through it as we quest in Korthia and continue our covenant campaigns.
Right.
So you're just going to be behind on that. But nothing's keeping you out of the new zone. Nothing's keeping you out of the new raid.
You are locked in story gating, though. So, like, if you're only at a certain part of your Covenant story, you're not going to, there's no leapfrog in that. And that includes anything that may have to continue in Korthia, okay. Right?
I mean, that's pretty, all you had to do was play the game.
Like, ah, see, there we go. There it is. There's the
statement. No, but like, it's not even like, I'm usually with you on the grinds. Just literally asking you to do like a small quest line per week per, it's not even a max renown. It's like right. You run out of quests before you're done with renown. And so to me, I look at that and go like, oh, I'm so mad that Mass Effect made me play the whole game before I could play the ending. It's just like, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, okay, but you don't feel that way about an expansion, do you? Do you think people should? Let's say somebody bought, I don't know, let's say somebody bought Warlords and they played the first initial quest stuff, and then they just kind of gave up. They're like, I don't like garrisons. I don't want to play this anymore. They unsub and they're done. Legion comes along, and they're like, ooh, Legion, I'm back in. Should they be allowed to do that? Or should they have to go back to Legion go back to Warlords, do everything there first, and then I can go play this expansion? Like, because that's kind of what you're suggesting shouldn't happen, but that is what happens with expansions. Why not with patches?
Pause and say, I actually don't know what the hell happens if you're not caught up on your Covenant campaign. Is it confirmed that you're boned from going to?
I know you don't get certain story beats without.
There's a big difference though between I don't know what's going on and I can't go do the new content.
Well, that's
true. Are we barred from new content? I don't know if that's the case.
No, I think you're right. There's nothing in Corthia we can't go do that I know of. I mean, there may be something tied to your Covenant campaign that you can only do out there, but that would only be with this patch anyway, right? So you can go out there and start doing your thing. Whether or not it's going to be harder because you're not geared right or whatever, that's another issue in question. The last expansion had that. What was the two new zones?
Okay, it looks like back on May 11th, lead game designer Morgan Day confirmed that there will be a catch-up system for Renown, getting you to Renown 40 in patch 9.1, which I believe is the end of the questing portion of Renown. Okay,
so that's...
The current cap is 50, I believe.
So that's their.
Looked
that's
at it in the, so long, I don't remember.
That's their method, but, though, right? That's their plan, is to say, "Hey, we've got some catch up, and maybe that probably just means you're going to get more renown than you used to." They've upped the renown.
40 is the cap. Okay, so never mind. Yeah. So yeah, and plus you can get renown a lot faster.
Yeah. And that's. I like that. I appreciate that. That goes a long way to sort of address the question that I have about all of this, which is, you know, what are your mechanics to give people a chance to catch up without feeling like they're just back doing what they left for in the first place. Now, somebody in the chat said, look, if you didn't like the content of 9.0, you're not going to like the content of 9.1. Like, what are you even doing? And that's possible, I suppose. But a lot of people just take time off because they're taking time off. They're like, I've had it for a while. I'm a little burned out or whatever. I just need something new to do in the game. And, you know, I'm just for less barriers to do those things. And you know, Corthia being there is great. But once you kind of get to a daily routine in Corthia, then you may be at the same boat again and go, well, now there's not as much for me to do. And so Blizzard may say, hey, remember that thing we told you about where you can take, you can level alts in the tower? And we all go, yeah. And they say, oh, well, here it is in a patch, 1.2 or whatever. And then we all get super stoked about that concept, which I would be really stoked about, by the way. I'm saying this because I want it. I mean, those are ways to get people back in. But I guess what I'm saying is you would think it would behoove Blizzard to make it as easy for returning players to come back as possible to maximize your subscriptions.
Well, if there is a true catch up to 40, then there is. They have done that.
Right. Okay. Well, then you're right. They have.
So coming into this, I thought you were mostly hung up on flying.
Not so much.
I would have dug deeper and researched a little more because I don't know exactly what happens. If day one you go in and you were renowned like 28, like I don't know what happens.
Yeah. Well, I assume you have to earn the rest of your renown, and they've bumped up how much renown you get because they boosted it for catch up reasons. That's what I would assume based on the information we have.
If there was a confirmation last month that there's going to be a catch up system, then there's going to be a catch up system.
Yeah. And whatever that is and however that manifests itself, I think that's a wise thing to do. I guess what I'm saying is for things like flying. I mean, flying's not the ultimate reason for me to want to play again. What I want to play again is the moment-to-moment engagement. And right now, I'm not feeling it. 9.1 may change that for me. But in the place where I'm not feeling it is in the middle of a Covenant campaign where I'm just a little bit like I'm not as interested as I was in this Covenant campaign, so I'm pulling out for a while. And now I got to
start
that.
Now that I start to agree with you with, I'm sure a good portion of my personal feelings here are brought on by the fact that we've just waited so damn long for this.
Yeah.
But like we finally got our 9.1 release date. And I'm kind of just like, that's nice. I'm going to go back to kill some Hellboar. Like,
Are you okay? So let me ask you this. Being relatively steeped in classic, does any of this make you go, well, that'll change on the 29th. See a classic. I'm back to swinging the bat over here. Like, how much?
I don't know. I've definitely gone directions. I've had this happen before where I'm just like, I'm done, man. I'm out. And then I'll come back like a month into like what you do with Nagitar, man. Like, yeah. I remember, cause that was like pretty early on to my days in the instance when you were like, it was like 2 months later. You're like, dude, I finally went to Nagitar. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and I was just sitting there like, that's what I've been telling you, Scott. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. But you even came around on Mechagon a little bit, or not Mechagon.
I did. It turns out if you actually just played Mechagon and you unlocked a lot more to do, it became way more interesting.
Yeah, but fair point.
I still think they could have made it look a lot more interesting.
Like, I like the motif, but we've been through this argument. I have a Mad Max problem. I can't help it.
I think you could have kept the Mad Max motif and still had like I know that's what the dungeon was like the super city thing, but you could have had that like in the middle, like a Morton Joe's like tower situation.
It's a fair point.
I would have been super into that.
It's a fair point.
Instead, you just kind of had it. Anyway, that does tie into, I think, another thing besides the weight that is playing a part of my 9.1 not give a cares. And it's just like, Korthia just looks like more Maw.
Yeah, more Maw.
And Korthia is not registering on my hype meter.
No, I mean, I like that there's more, but the Maw is, by design, a horrible place. And in some ways, it encourages you not to kind of want to be there. His eye gets worse as you're there. You can't mount to save your life unless you're a certain class or you know.
Well, that's all getting
tweaked. Getting, I know, but there has always been active reasons built into the game that were like, well, you can be here and do your things because you need them, but get the H out of here as soon as you can. Like, that's the game tells you that on multiple fronts. And so some of that's going away, but I still don't know what's going to compel me to spend a lot more time in the Maw / Korthia, which looks like the Maw. But
it looks like the Maw with trees, crappy trees, dying trees, I guess is a better way to put it.
Dying
looks
trees,
like the Maw with dying trees.
Yeah, a little bit. Like it's Maw adjacent, you know, and that's fine.
Quite literally, it is chained adjacently to the Maw.
And I'm sure there are players who are like stoked about more of that. I'm not trying to make a judgment call across the board.
I believe they're stoked for Maw of that.
Yeah, a Maw of that, exactly. They can't get...
Yeah.
They love their Maw. There you go. That's sort of a, they love their moms as well, but their Maw's who they really care about.
Whiskey Jack in the chat room says gray, 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 blue, gray, gray, gray.
Yeah.
that's what Korthia looks like to me. Yeah. I just, zones and art, it's a big reason I play World of Warcraft. And it's a big reason I don't play Final Fantasy. The art doesn't really do much for me.
Right.
World of Warcraft's art does. New zones. New continents really, really do. But Korthia, it just seems a little small scope.
Yeah.
And visually it hasn't differentiated itself enough from the Maw to get me excited. It looks a lot to me, it looks like more of the same is my TLDR.
It does. It also Korthia feels like it's a little,
me up.
Don't you think it's a little, well, you basically said it, but it just feels a little safe in that scope. It's them saying, all right, we're in a pandemic development environment. We got to build out more content, but we need to do it in a way that's not going to mean months and months of testing because of potential issues we're creating with verticality or a million other reasons why new content complicates the systems. So what if it was just us pulling a big chunk of Earth to the other chunk of Earth we already have, and it's not going to differentiate itself that much from that previous chunk, and then we're safe to do lots of neat things in it, but we don't have to overcomplicate our development pipeline with two zones that are totally different than each other with like massively different kind of quest systems and the way that they did with the last two Mechagon and the other one, Nagnatar. That to me feels like what this is. This is, we are getting,
yeah,
we're not, it doesn't mean we're not getting their best work, because I think we probably still are, but we're getting a taste of them running interference for themselves, just a little bit of carefulness on the side of, like, you know, it's just, we don't want to go too crazy with this content, because if we do, we're asking for a longer delay, bigger problems, other issues, all that stuff.
It really just comes down to, like, I'm stoked for the new raid. But, like, at the moment, I don't know. I haven't been really keeping up with my character, and I don't want to be, I feel bad even though I've got some lovely, lovely people who are happy to let me kind of wander in and out of the raid, but I feel bad at this point because I've been
same.
Totally slacking and keeping my character cutting edge.
Yeah, I don't like being carried like that if I can help not.
Yeah, I don't want to feel like I'm bringing the group down.
So this is interesting because it's a problem other MMOs have to deal with, obviously. They all do. Some more than others. The ones that are sort of templated after the Warcraft success model seem to have more trouble with this kind of thing than others. If we look at the other two big, you know, if there are three big MMOs in the world right now, and I should say mostly in the Western world, because in China and Korea, all bets are off. There's all kinds of stuff that we don't even know about that's, like, huge and dwarfs everything we're doing over here. But we look at the big three, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy XIV, and Elder Scrolls Online. Final Fantasy XIV is a really interesting way, or annoying way, if you want to look at it. It depends on how you look at it. Of dealing with this. They have story boosts and they have level boosts in that game. And I actually did one of these to sort of test it out and see what's up. And basically it worked like this. If I wanted to skip an entire chunk of content to get to a newer expansion, they'll let you do that, but you have to pay for a level skip. Okay, so a lot like a boost in WoW. And that level skip would let you jump to 60 or 70 or whatever it was.
They don't include one if you get the new expansion or whatever?
Like no, they don't. It's not part of it. So they have it as a separate service, and, you know, that's its own problem.
So that's more like Classic then.
Oh, yeah.
BC, if you want a boost, you got to pay for it. You don't get...
Yeah.
That's so right, because you're not required to buy TBC Classic.
Correct.
If you got the weird digital collection edition thing, that had one, but that's its own thing.
It's its own thing. So it's a little bit weird. It's a little closer to that. But then the other thing in that game is, you only are jumping levels. You're not jumping anything else. So I didn't realize this at first. I bought the level jump, did it, and then I was in the exact same place I was before, and I was story locked with a dungeon run, public dungeon or something, and I couldn't progress any further in the mainline story. And I'm also 20 levels higher than anything in the world. And I'm like, this is wrong. Something's broken here. Like, this is something's not right. Well, it turns out they got this fishy way of doing it. You also have to buy... If you want to, you can do either or, but you can buy a story skip that you need in conjunction with that, that then takes you as if you learn, it's a book, you learn this book and it tells you all the story up until that new expansion you're aiming for, whatever it is. This is like $11. It's not expensive or anything, but it was a weird thing to learn. And so they have that way of dealing with, trugging forward on content that you want to skip over. But then again, that's also just expansions, right? So it's not like mid-game patch and things like that. But they also do things differently in their patches, so it's kind of a hard comparison. But that's how they kind of handle it. I think I might like ESO's approach the most, which is, some people don't like this at all, but because the world and the game and you, the character, everybody's scaled to each other in relative scale to each other. So if you're level 5 and I'm level 50, we can team up and play and know without jumping through any weird hoops. We can just go and be a group and go fight stuff and do quests and run content and do whatever. And yeah, that person will have just his low level spells or abilities. And yes, I'll have my maxed out ones, but the damage we're doing has all been scaled to the world so that he's either being scaled up, I'm being scaled down, or it just feels natural. Like, oh, we're just fighting this dragon and we're doing it together and we take him down. That's true across the board in that game. And that includes content. So if they drop a patch or a brand new expansion or whatever it is, you can stop whatever it is you're doing at whatever level you're at. Doesn't matter. And you can go over there and do the new thing, like, immediately. So this new Blackwood expansion that just dropped, you can be over there working on your Elsewhere stuff, which is two expansions ago. And that drops and you're like, oh, I want to go check that out, like, right now. You can get on a boat, go to the place, start doing quests in that world. You're at level for whatever you need. So is the gear that's dropping. Everything is scaled to you. And then that includes dungeons, that includes raids, that includes all that stuff. PvP included, I believe. Actually, the PvP thing I haven't tried yet, so I shouldn't speak to that, but I believe that stuff scaled as well. Anyway, the point is, you go do that stuff. This new expansion has companions, so I went and got those right away. And then if I want, I can put all that on pause and go back to the one I was on, or do something from the original, or go back, you know, one expansion. Like, I can go anywhere I want in that world anytime. I like that because the way my schedule works these days and just that sort of stuff, it's just easier for me to like go, oh, I'm going to go do a bunch of stuff I feel like doing. Like, you can just do what you want to do. And that could be, I just want to fish all day. Great, go fish. I want to go do quests all day. Great, go do that. I want a different kind of questing, so I'm going to go talk to the orcs and see what they're doing in their hometown. Cool. All that content is at your level. And
so is it just that you want it to be counting towards leveling up?
Well,
there's nothing stopping you from just going and doing things elsewhere in World of Warcraft.
Well, that's a good point. But the difference is that no matter where I go, even though the world scaled to me, it's never just one-shotting anything. Does that make sense? Because the world scaled, everything, you have to kill it normally. You have to do whatever the content is in a way that you got
to
mitigate
damage. I'm trying to understand how much of it is like you feeling rewarded for doing stuff outside of the regular expansion bit.
Right. I mean, that's a good question.
It's hard for me not to, my brain to just kind of go and be like, different games. Like ESO works very much like an Elder Scrolls game works. Like,
yeah. I don't want to make direct comparisons. I'm just basically saying, hey, this is how they mitigate this problem that I'm describing. And as it is right now, WoW just doesn't have a way to mitigate it. They don't have a great way of mitigating it. They give you a little bit of boost to renown, or they might, you know, take away one barrier or another at a piece at a time or whatever. But they don't have a great way of me just saying, I don't feel like doing any of this stuff in my covenant, so I'd rather just go see the, I don't know, whatever it is you want to go see. The problem is that it's just a different kind of game. It's structured differently, and there's probably little that can be done about it. But I think it's a fair question. Like, how do you get people to belly up to the bar who gave up 4 months ago and say, hey, here are the reasons you should come play again that will counter why they left in the first place? And maybe there's just no way to do that. You know, I don't know. Like, what's the sales pitch?
I think in WoW's defense, it's doing about as much as it can. Because you're going to be able to, unless you're really, really under geared, go do the new zone and go do the new raid once at least Raid Finder opens. So I don't see a huge barrier between the majority of the player base and the new content of 9.1.
So people either gave up and stopped playing because they were tired of it and don't want to play anymore until new content comes out. Now they'll be back and they'll play and they're excited to come back. There's another category of people who were bored then and will be bored now if they try again. I mean, that's basically it. Right.
Yeah, to a certain degree. Like, I think because of the way WoW works, I think if you weren't already enjoying Shadowlands, I don't see why 9.1 would change your opinion. Mm-hmm. What you start to get into that I find interesting with your talk about ESO is just the way that like the content of everything that exists within that game is equal, essentially.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Which again is indicative of just how Elder Scrolls games play. But you know, maybe there is something there. We've talked about it before. I think the last time this came up was when we got the level squish, right? And we could do the chromie leveling.
Oh, right.
Because you and I both did that, and we're like, wait, we get ripped out of it. Like, there's a timer. Like, you will be ported away now that you've hit 50. Congrats. Like, I'm invested. I want to finish this.
Yeah, like basically what you just that's exactly the comparison. The chromie leveling in World of Warcraft for alts is what the entirety of ESO is in terms of its progression, or at least launch. It wasn't. It was levels and zones that were, you know, too high and too low for you and all that. They changed all that with a giant patch called Tamriel Unlimited at the time. It was years ago. And that just equalized everything. But basically that leveling experience with Chromie is that very thing. And for whatever reason, that jives with me because I feel like I can just kind of grow with the world, do what I got to do. I know there are people that go, it's so cool to walk around a corner and see a place that you're not supposed to be. And everything's way too high and have, you know, skulls on their heads and, if you even aggro something 400 miles away, it's going to come eat you. Like, yes, we all have stories about doing that in Eastern Plague Lands. We all have these stories, and I get it. I get that there's something cool about that. But even Blizzard knows that the scaling thing is a valid thing because since, what was it? I guess Legion, every game's had some form of this. Legion, all the zones were scaled, and you chose which one to do first, and everything else scaled with you when you went to the next one.
I didn't like it. I stand by it. I will die on that hill.
Interesting.
Level your zones.
What did you not like about that? I'm just curious. What was the thing?
It made... Because
I like that a lot, and I'm always shocked when someone tells me they didn't like that. But I get, you know, again, back to my Western Plaguelands, Eastern Plaguelands point, I get that, but that's kind of like a one-off.
I guess I'll answer it by saying that I found the story through questing in Shadowlands more compelling because of the fact that they could tell a narrative in a specific order.
Mm.
Which is
So as far as like choosing which one to do first, is that kind of what you're getting at? Like, you know what I mean? Like Legion was like, hey, pick one of the four and go for it. And then you just pick it and go. This one was linear and said, no, go to Bastion. We're starting there. Okay, now go to...
Yeah, Arden. I mean, I don't think one is inherently better than the other. I think I tend to prefer the linear approach.
Yeah.
What I do find interesting, though, is because what you start to get into with ESO and being able to kind of go anywhere and do anything, it's kind of because, like, the different places you're going have pretty self-contained stories, which I do like.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what was going on in Legion. Each zone had its own self-contained story.
Right. That is a positive of that for sure.
I say this? Can we just oscillate between the two as the team sees fit? Because there's things I like about both. Yeah. I didn't vehemently hate Legions, but I did miss accidentally going too far and getting eaten by something I shouldn't have been near. Yeah. I did miss that. There's something about that I missed.
It's also a fine line between telling a linear story and trying to tell a dynamic one. And Legion tried to do it dynamically. Shadowlands does it very linearly. There's benefits to both.
There's something in old, like vanilla WoW 2 that I like. It was really inefficient in terms of if you wanted to level quickly, but I loved that there would be quests for zones that could not be further away.
Yeah.
Like you pick up one quest in Angoro and it's like, go to Winterspring. And it's just like, do you know where Winterspring is?
Do you know where we are?
Like, are you going to buy my plane ticket? Cause it's basically Alaska.
Yeah. Is there a blimp in Angoro I'm unaware of? Because
but I kind of like that. Like, and I think so, like old WoW kind of plays with it in an interesting way in that, like, it's kind of unlinear, but zones do have their kind of like zone specific stories that they play through, but there's also threads that take you from zone to zone to zone.
Yeah.
And kind of does both. And there's certainly some of that in new WoW, but if we're talking about like leveling in general, it seems like it's, you have Legion's version of scaling and you do the zone you want, or you have Shadowlands version of, you have a linear leveling experience.
Well, it also gives you
a predetermined path.
Yeah, but it also gives you back that linear that scaled thing when you're doing an alt, because when you go and you say, well, I'm doing the threaded memories or whatever the hell it's called,
threads of fate,
then you're back to Legion choosing. Right, you're like, I'll go to Maldraxxus first. Okay, cool. And I'm done that, I'll choose to go to Bastion.
Yeah, except they don't let you do the story quest, so you just like kind of gotta grind, which is a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. Having had both experiences, both the, you know, the straight linear experience and then three alts in the threaded fate thing, I think the story experience was the best, but only when you do it once. I don't want to do the same thing four times. So I'm glad they offered the other way, even though the other way just feels a little like old school MMO grindy. Because in a lot of ways it was like playing EverQuest again or something, where it's just like, I got to kill 50 of these. Okay, cool. And
then, I'm with you on that. I'm glad it's there as an option, but I don't think it was the most compelling of systems, but we're bouncing. You're hitting on so many different things for me.
I know.
You're making my brain go in so
many
directions.
These are all their own topics almost. We're going to have to remember all these.
Yeah, man. Like, cause there's also like, I kind of miss just feeling like a foot soldier in World of Warcraft. Yeah. I don't really like being the center of attention, being like the most important hero in recent expansions.
Well, you won't like Final Fantasy 14 very much, because you kind of are at the center of everything in there as well.
Well, Scott, this shouldn't come as a surprise to you. I don't like Final Fantasy 14
very much.
No,
you don't. Although, I don't know if you've noticed this. Like, chat room, don't tell anybody we're talking about this, but... whole bunch of very prominent WoW content creators I've noticed lately are just to have a lot to say about that game. And also doing coverage on it, doing content on it. See some stuff from TNE over there. Asmogold did a whole video about how they do bunch of stuff wrong in WoW, and they should be looking at Final Fantasy for how to do it right. And that's pretty intense. That dude's got like an army. You know, just a little, you've been noticing this just a little bit out there?
No, because I, no.
I mean, you like what you like, and I don't.
I haven't, but that doesn't surprise me in the least. That doesn't surprise me in the least. You know, it makes me think on this podcast that I used to listen to, called The Instance, that was playing this MMO called Rift, yeah, and was saying, hey, these rifts opening up in the world are really cool. They should do this in World of Warcraft.
Yep. And then they did.
Yeah. It was a good show. I wonder whatever happened to
that. I don't know what happened to that. Yeah. That was weird. Yeah. Remember that Star Wars one? That was something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a great idea that definitely had endless potential. I'm stoked. I'm stoked as hell for it, because that's when you and I started.
Yeah, we first really met
somewhat regularly together.
Yeah, somewhat. I was a
repeated guest on that show.
So it's obviously a big, complicated kind of question, but I do think it's an interesting, it's interesting stuff. Kind of under the surface of all of this, when we get new patches, I'd love to hear what you at home have to say. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address to send your feedback to, and let us know what you think about all this. Speaking of emails,
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
Well, we got an email here from Tori. I don't know why I said Troy. Tori wrote in to theinstance@gmail.com and said, so I just ran a dungeon in WoW as my level 49 warrior, and I was grouped with a level 10 and 14. The level 10 brewmaster monk was able to pretty much five shot all the bosses. I tried asking how they were able to do that, but they just said it was because they were so well geared. Multiple people in the party tried to explain to me how it was possible, but it didn't make sense at all. I'm a level 10 in a BFA dungeon that was able to literally destroy everything while I was hitting 50 and 100, or hitting for 50 to 100. I assume they were cheating, but they kept trying to explain to me that it worked as intended. Do you have any experience with anything like this? Either they were cheating, or it's easy to do so, or the game is quite literally broken. Thanks for the input. I don't know. I mean, if he's just doing Dungeon Finder and ended up with a level 10 or 14, that sounds like a bug. And also they're cheating. You know what I mean? I don't think you're supposed to get grouped like that, because the dungeons don't scale.
Especially if BFA, you chose the same expansion, yes, they do.
Do they? Like in BFA?
If you do the Chromie thing, you can level to 50 in a single expansion. That's how it works.
Right, but can you do a Dungeon Finder and will the 10s and 14s scale with the 49 guy?
That's my understanding, yes, because he hasn't hit 50 yet, so he's not out of that expansion.
I didn't realize they scaled.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nothing about this seems strange to me.
Okay, well, then that's the answer. It's a scaling. I didn't know BFA had scaling dungeons, or that any of them. I guess it's not just BFA. It's like you're alt-leveling in any unlocked dungeon. But I thought you still were held to such rules as, like, that dungeon doesn't open until level 50. And you can't get in there till then.
Yeah, my understanding is that it brings everyone up to the highest level member of the team.
Interesting.
So okay. You were at fault for being level 49.
Like, right.
Is my understanding of how this is going down. But also, like, I have never paid attention to damage in a leveling dungeon because I'm just trying to burn through it. So in terms of, like, the numbers looking weird, I have no idea what to tell you.
Yeah, that part's pretty weird. Yeah, that part's pretty weird. But saying he five shots all the bosses. Well, the other thing to keep in mind, Benjamin says in the chat as well, if these things are truly scaling, these lower level characters don't have all their abilities yet. You don't just suddenly get those in this dungeon. So when they're in there fighting, they are hitting harder with less stuff than you are with your level 49. Now, as far as him hitting 51 to 100, that sounds in line with the squish. And I'll bet their numbers were close to that as well. He's just confused about why they were so close. But that's what it is. It's their scaled dungeons. I didn't realize we did that, or that worked. I thought that was all hosed.
Yeah, that's part of that.
Or I thought it was level gated, because if you were in that system, I understand them being scaled. But if you're a 10, you shouldn't be allowed in the same dungeons as the 49, right?
Yeah, the whole thing scales. That's how it works.
Yeah, but I don't mean that they don't scale. I'm saying even in Threads of Fate or whatever, the Chromie business, it tells you at certain levels when certain dungeons are available to you. Before that, they're not available to you. So you still are, you're still held to those leveling rules. Like, well, I can't go to Scarlet Monastery till 20, as an example. But then once you get in there, sure, you a low 20 and somebody a level 50 could play in there together because it's scaled. But everybody has to, the entire crew has to be over the limit that Scarlet Monastery requires.
I don't think it works that way anymore.
It must not. It must not. All right.
I have no idea because I don't. Who is clicking vanilla as their as their leveling experience? By the way, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't do that. Somebody does, but it ain't me. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, because if I'm going to do that, it's going to be. I'll just go play classic.
Yeah, why not do it the old way if you're going to do it the old way? I agree.
Yeah, Antisocial in the chat room saying everything scales to you, and dungeon locks are only a thing in Shadowlands content now.
I missed that. Wow.
That is my understanding of how it works.
Okay. So no longer are you held to... see, that I like that. Make it easier to get in there. No reason to block people out. Don't gate that. Let them in. This is a good... Actually turned out to be a better email for today's topic than I expected. Well done, Tori. If you have a question, thought, feeling, or a statement and you'd like to share it with us, send it to theinstance@gmail.com. And before we go, Garrett, we always like to... go around the table and see what else is going on in and around our lives. Do you have anything going on that people should like catch up on, watch or see or consume?
Yeah, man. Couple of things. I figured it's probably as good a time as ever to remind people that I do art on the side and you can find it over at nomoonart.com. So if you need some graphic design or whatever, you should go check it out. Scott, I don't know if you know this. I did album art for this little podcast. It's, you know, maybe you heard of it, World's Greatest Con.
Oh, was that you? I didn't realize.
Yeah, I did the album art for that, and I was drinking my morning coffee and checking out Pocket Cast trending, and it's the number one trending podcast in the world, and I'm seeing something that I worked on for a week in Photoshop as the number one thing, which is just super cool. So huge congrats to Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young on all their work on that damn show, and I can't thank them enough for asking me to do the artwork, because now... damn, I've never seen anything I've worked on that high.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Yeah. But yeah, if you're out there, you need some artwork done, check out nomoonart.com. And if the mention of Heroes of the Storm getting a new patch this week piqued your interest, you should go listen to Into the Nexus, because Kyle and I have a hot new episode up breaking down the whole damn patch for you.
That's awesome. I'm just looking at the Apple podcast charts right now. They are trending at number 5. In the history category. And then I noticed on Pocket Cast, they were like number 1. And they're killing it with this thing. It's very good. People should listen to it. It's fantastic. And also, I remember when I saw it first, I went, oh man, cool art. That was my very first thought. So Garrett, I had no idea it was you. Congratulations. Well done. I really like it. That kind of crunchy, like your album cover got mushed in the move. Crinkle thing you got going there.
I was specifically told, make it look pulpy.
It's very pulpy. It's perfect. I really like it. Well done. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. If you want all that E3 coverage, did a ton of it over on the Core podcast. You can find that at frogpants.com/core, or just search for it on Google. You'll find it. It's also anywhere you get your podcast. And if you're a lover and listener of this show, you can support us at theinstance.net. An Instance Plus member gets lots of extra things, including rad stuff in the mail. Speaking of art, Garrett did a card back for the print we send out every month. Art for me on one side and Garrett's awesome card back, sort of Hearthstone inspired on the back with our name on it. So go check it out. More details at theinstance.net and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. You can find Garrett at Garrett Art and more shows like this at frogpants.com. Instance show for the Instance, by the way. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.